Hey, the podcast is back and we're giving away swag. Over $500 in prizes, 12 winners, and it all ends October 14. Don't wait. Go to smarterroofer.com/contest right now for details and to enter before it's gone. That's smarterroofer.com/contest.
By the next year, the business starts going down. We did a roof for a cabinet shop some years ago. And the guy was like telling us how his dad grew this cabinet shop business. And he had, I think it was like 14 employees. And they were doing like $5 million in cabinets or something. But he said the last 10 years, I think it was last 13 years, he's run the company. And he's down to one employee. The cabinet business just gotten really tough, he said. It's not more true than nothing. Because there's cabinet shops that are growing like crazy. Yeah. But that's the law of the lid. And he didn't understand that. Guarantee his dad started the company, put everything he had into the company, grew it. And then he handed it off to an entitled kid that the process never grew the kid. And now the kid's down to one employee and times are tough and the cabinet business ain't that good. It ain't nothing to do with the cabinet business. You better go take a good hard look in the mirror.
You're listening to the Smarter Roofer Podcast, where we believe blunders are bad, profit is sanity, and roofing smart is smarter.
Been a while since the last episode. My name is Owen Schrock.
I'm Elias Raver.
And we're glad you guys are tuning in. So what's been going on lately?
It's been a minute since we did one of these podcasts. I started a roofing company with my brother-in-law, Tony. Been on the road a bunch with him, just helping him grow a company. Grow a commercial roofing company, specifically.
So how's it feel to be back in the field? Like, now that you actually have some ownership, you have some responsibility, but you're also putting effort into it yourself because it is your deal to an extent.
I love selling roofs. Probably a thing that I enjoy the most is just meeting a new building owner, walking a roof, and in the roofing business aspect, I love that part of the business. I hate office work. I'm not good at office work, but the relational side, I really enjoy that. Like for me, that's very enjoyable. Tony does own the majority of the company. I own a piece of the company. For most of you guys listening, you know that we have a great team of contractors out there. You're probably one of them if you're listening to this. Great team of roofers out there. My greatest joy comes from seeing our roofers be successful. Like, I love that. But going out and just looking at roofs and walking a roof, like, to me, honestly, it's I don't know if it's a stress reliever or not, but, like, I really enjoy that. It's easy. It's simple. Like I think owning a roofing company is a really simple aspect of business. Like just go meet somebody and sell them a roof. It really is that simple. Like this week, I helped a guy sell a project, a brand new guy in our team. He just went through the last roof systems training and he just closed. He's been a contractor for probably 15 years, but mostly residential, and getting into the roof coating business is new for him. And him and I went with him a week and a half ago. We met a building owner. We showed him our samples. We walked the roof and the building owner showed us, you know, all the ins and the outs of the building and the issues and all this happy stuff. And then 2-3 days ago, we went back. He asked us to come back and go over all our proposals, like what we were offering, because we were offering a couple different options. And we went over everything. And he signed this morning, actually. He got a check to my new contractor for, it's like $420,000 job. I think it's $422,000 job. Beautiful metal restoration. I absolutely, like, that makes me so happy to see a new guy having that success. Like, he told me in the residential business, he's like, I've had a good run for 15 years, but I'm making a good living, but it's not giving me options. It's not getting me ahead. And that's why he's getting into the commercial space. I signed one this week that was right at $200,000 for our own company. And that makes me happy. But like seeing one of the guys in our team get that, that makes me even happier.
And it's not very normal for a brand new guy in commercial to land a huge project. No. Like,
oh, I told him three times. I said, Jonathan, do you understand what like... like this doesn't normally happen. Like normally you get a $35,000 one and you get a $50,000 one and you get a $17,000 one and you build up that way. And honestly, if you're a new guy and getting into business, like if you're looking at this, I would just as soon you sell 20 little jobs as one big one, because now you have 20 people talking about you. You have 20 people referring you. You have 20 new customers, but nobody's ever going to argue that first one being $400,000.
Let's talk about the roofing business How did you come up with this idea? What made you decide to jump back in? I think we touched on some of this on one previous episode back in the spring. Yeah, just walk us through some of the highlights from that.
I mean, the reason that I wanted to start another company is I get a fair amount of leads from contractors, particularly contractors that, you know, maybe joined the team 15 years ago. I have a guy in Pittsburgh that joined our team 15 years ago, but he's gotten to the age where he just doesn't like getting on roofs anymore. And this year already, we've probably done $250,000 worth of work for that company. That, I mean, since we started Quaker State Roofing, we've probably done close to $1 million worth of work for that company. It's companies that he refers. There's one particular company that he referred us to that I get a fair amount of referrals from contractors that maybe have joined the team over the years, and for whatever reason, they went a little different direction, or they're like, this guy, his sons literally don't want him to get on roofs anymore. And so he pretty much works for his sons full time. They own tons of apartments. And that's actually why he had joined our team, is to do his own roofs. He was like a small-time contractor, but he's like, maybe I could do my own roofs. And I'm like, sure, you can do your own roofs. And so I've just built a lot of relationships over the years with contractors that I get a fair amount of leads through some of these guys. And so I'm like, instead of just pawning those off to somebody else, I'll run some of those myself because I have some time. And that was kind of the motive behind it. And my brother-in-law, Tony, came to me literally right over the same time. And he was toying with the idea of starting a company, not really roofing. He had a couple other ideas and they were good ideas. And I said, hey, I called him back one day and I was driving on the road, and my wife, Deb, she kept telling me, Tony would be a great guy in your team. Like, you should get Tony started doing roofing. And I'm like, well, I don't know. He's been thinking about, you know, a couple other business ideas too. And she's like, well, just talk to him about it. And so one day I called him and I said, do you ever think about getting into commercial roof restoration? And he was like, yeah, I'd actually really like to, but I didn't think you'd want somebody else in this area. Like, there's already enough guys in this area, is there not? Like, and I'm like, one of our biggest competitors is locally here, and their company is north of $50 million. And all I said to him was, as long as he's got $50 million, and they do exactly what we do. Like, we don't need $50 million worth of business, Tony. I said, we just need another million or two. And so he was like, well, I'd love to. And I said, well, come over tonight. And so we had dinner together. And literally by that night, we decided to put a partnership together and make it work.
Awesome. Love that. Let's talk about some challenges, because this podcast is designed to help us grow, to help people grow. Mm-hmm. New ideas. What's been some of the biggest challenges, like in that business, as far as like growth mm-hmm. and running the company?
Oh man, I would say the number one challenge, not just for Quaker State, but for really any roofing businesses, acquiring the customers, like getting the business, that is the engine that runs the machine. Like, if you're not selling and getting jobs, and commercial roof restoration, it's not residential. Like, if you want easy, go start a residential business and build decks for people and put residential roofs on. You're going to get referred a much more. You're going to get referred a lot easier. The commercial world's going to pay you a lot better. But you have to be very intentional about going after that business. I would say that's the number one challenge of somebody that's getting into what we do, commercial roof restoration. It's a very much a niche market. You got to go after it. Like, you got to know, and you got to be super focused on it. I'd say that's the number one challenge, you know. And then as you grow a company, there's new challenges that arise. Like, you know, this year we've sold a lot of jobs, and one of the challenges is getting all that done because we have a new company, and so we have to pull in some help to get some things done. And
love that. You said getting the business is the engine that runs the business. So leads, marketing, and selling. Mm-hmm. And that's so true. I'm actually going to go through a book from Alex Hormozi, $100 Million Money Models. He had three different books, and I don't have them here on the desk with me. He has a book on marketing, has a book on sales, and now he has a book on money models. In other words, the operations, like how do you put all this together? Back in 2017, we had a topic at the roofing conference we do every spring. I had someone else teach the topic. Laverne Zook taught the topic. Our theme that year was baseball. So I said, let's cover the three bases in business. And that's marketing, sales, and operations, like delivery of the product. So we've been teaching that same idea for all these years. And here, Alex Hormozi, big time businessman, worth many millions of dollars. He actually put everything into like one book. So I'm going through over the next couple months and taking out things. How can we apply these things to our companies, roofing business? One thing I learned just the other day, he said, and the reason that it's interesting listening to him, because he interviewed and had over 1,000 different company owners come in, and they went through their business and said, okay, here's the bottleneck. Here's what you need to work on next. Over 1,000 different ones, all industries. So he takes all the principles that work in every industry and puts them into one book. One thing he taught the other day was the least dangerous way to grow a company is to do more of it, of what's working. I realize this thinking back. There's a couple contractors that do a lot of mailers every year. So they might do 6 or 8 drop, and they're having really good success. So if you do a drop, it works, you land a job, you sell a roof, you do another drop.
Yep.
If it works, you do more of it. And a lot of guys are doing one mailer a year,
yep,
maybe two. What if you did 8 or 10 or one a month, literally? If it's working, do more of that. And then you'll hit other bottlenecks, but then you work on that later on. Yeah.
100%. But, a new business, the number one bottleneck for a new company is they do not advertise enough. We're talking commercial roof restoration. I'm not talking residential. I'm talking commercial. You want to go after this kind of work? Like, they do not get enough attention out there. That people don't know you're in business. And that is the number one bottleneck that keeps, in our industry, that makes people go out of business, is they don't advertise enough. They're not in front of enough people. Like early on when we started Quaker State Roofing, I told Tony, I said, I'm not just going to fork you a bunch of money. Like, I'm not just going to lay $20,000 down and say, hey, let's go do some advertising. We're going to start like we're broke, right? We're going to start as a brand new business. And so we just went cold calling, like meeting people. And I went with them a couple of days. The second day of cold calling, we sold I think it was about a $10,000 repair job. Like the guy told us there, he pulled another quote out from a big competitor company. Literally, they were, no joke, they were just caulking some screws, sealing a couple. Like, we went through detailed their company CAM report, what they had put out. I'm like, literally, these guys are going to show up with a caulk gun and silicone for, it was like $13,000. I bet it wasn't going to take a case of caulk. He's like, if you can be less than this. And I said, I guarantee you what I'm doing is way better than that too, because I understood where some of their leaks was. And the other company, I'm just being honest, they didn't understand it according to what they had. I mean, they were just caulking some screws, and there was a couple issues on some overlaps on like a ridge cap that they were caulking. And I'm like, dude, literally, like, all they're doing is going to silicone for $13,000, going to silicone some screws and stuff. So we put a little quote together right there for the guy, and he was like, hey, we were like $9,800. He said, if you can be cheaper than this, you'll get the job. We literally used like a drum of coatings on the roof, if I remember right, like, or a bucket of quick caulk or something. But we used a lot. We did a lot more than they were saying they were going to do. And we went in and we did it in no time. Like, we did it in a half a day. There was maybe $7,000 or $7,500 in profit left on that. And then I told Tony, okay, now we're going to do some mailers. Like, now we got a little money here. You take a little cash because you need a little bit to live on. But the next job is, let's figure out where we can push this back into marketing. Because if we're just going to eat the seeds, yeah. You're just going to be full for one day and then you're going to be broke again. We did a drop of mailers. Off of that drop of mailers, we sold two jobs, but the one job we did probably right at $300,000 worth of work. Half of it that year and half of it the next year. And so one drop of mailers cost what? What's a drop? 5,000 piece drop cost?
$3,300 currently, yeah, with postage.
Probably that one project, I didn't figure up our profit on it, but probably 6 figures of net income off that one project, one drop. But what if you could do a drop for $3,300 and just make $10,000? How long would we sit here and do that exchange all day long? And that's what blows my mind sometimes. Like, well, I don't know if I can afford a drop of mailers. You know, you got to think like a businessman. Like, you got to get out there.
Yeah, you got to keep that flywheel spinning. A sign guy told me years ago, a business without a sign is a sign of no business. Of course, he was selling signs, but the principle applies. In your roofing business, how do you and Tony balance responsibilities? Like, how do you play to each other's strength? Yeah, I'm sure we've got a bunch more to cover future episode, but what are a couple of those things?
I mean, pretty much what I've been bringing to the company is keeping business there. Like, that's kind of my role. He's looked at a lot of projects and he's sold projects, but especially summer months, he's pretty busy on the jobs. Like, he's still working with the guys every day. And I like that he's getting a ton of experience working with the guys, and that experience helps him sell in the future as well. That's kind of the role I've been playing, is I'm a little bit the relationship builder. I go out and I look at projects, meet people, and try to keep work there for them. And it's worked very well this summer.
Wrap up. So goals for the next year, like for your own roofing business, what are some things that you'd like to see happen?
Well, this year, I'm pretty confident. I haven't looked at the numbers as of lately. This is August, end of August. I'm pretty sure we went over 7 figures in sales this year. Not a lot over, but some over, I think. So I really think that next year, and honestly, this year, Owen, almost all of our work was done through referrals. Like almost all of our work was done through referrals. Next year, we're going to push more into probably doing more mails, just trying to pick up some new clients. But I'd love to see that company get to 2 million, maybe between 2 and 3 million. I feel like that's a really good place for a coding company to be. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go build a giant company, but I've seen people go and build big companies, and I've seen it go well and I've seen it not go so well sometimes. Maybe too quickly try to build big companies. And I personally think that a really good place for a coding business, a restoration business, and what we do is between $2 and $3 million. A good crew of guys can handle that work. We have to stay really clear on why we're in business, because all of us are entrepreneurs that we think more is sometimes better, and we forget why we started. Like the reason why Tony started the business was time freedom. Like he loves to hunt. He loves to, you know, travel. He loves to do a lot of the same things that I love to do. And I'm trying to teach him to be like, stay really clear. And I'm trying to tell myself this too, because I always think I can do more. But every time we go for more, we usually, anytime there's a win somewhere, there's always a loss somewhere else. And, you know, if you can bring people in your company to help you grow that, then that's great. I personally think a really good place for a coding company is between $2 and $3 million. And it's a great life, good profit margins, and you have time freedom.
We're going to talk more about that probably in future episodes. Like you mentioned, you do want to stay clear on why you got into business, but then if you do grow more, you have to almost put processes into place.
Yeah.
So it's taken care of so that you can grow without losing the whole purpose that you got in to start with. Any closing comments? And then the next episode, I think we're going to talk about an event for this fall, because we do have something coming up tentatively in December. And a couple of people are going to be able to take advantage of that.
For sure.
It's going to be an awesome time. And so maybe the next episode, we'll talk about that.
Absolutely.
Any closing comments on this one?
You know, we talked a little bit about startups here. The bottleneck for guys starting up is not getting enough attention. And I'd say if there's something in your business that you want to make sure that you're not lacking in, is that you're getting a lot of attention. That's the engine that runs the machine.
I love that. Great advice. Awesome. Okay, we'll be back next time.
This episode was brought to you by the Smarter Roofer Growth Alliance, our private community for commercial roof coating contractors just like you. Inside, you'll get early access to the raw video recordings of our bi-weekly podcast sessions. You'll also unlock instant access to all 31 of our GEMS Monday Morning Motivational videos. Plus, you'll get proven strategies, tools, and a network of commercial roofers just like you. If you want to grow your business faster, smarter, and with the right support, join us today by going to smarterroofer.com/grow. Join us on the inside at smarterroofer.com/grow.